Hello and welcome. This is a Triple M podcast special. You're about to catch up on the mental health and wellbeing special that aired across the Triple M network on Monday, the 23rd of March. But here's a couple of extra bits that we didn't get to on air today. Dr. Travis Kemp, our psychologist, our resident doctor here at Triple M, has been answering questions. Hello, Dr. Trav.
How are you, mate?
Good, mate. Mate, there's some of the stuff we didn't get to today that I'd like to talk about up front.
Sure.
The first of that is losing jobs and how people really, come to terms with the fact that something they've done for their entire life is no longer there for them to do in these uncertain times. That is a big mental challenge for a lot of people.
It's a huge mental challenge. And even if we didn't have a pandemic on our hands, that's a challenge anyway. So, you know, adjusting to not having the job that you've had for a long time is going to take a little bit of time. Looking after yourself in that process, again, when I'm suddenly find myself at home and I'm used to going to an office every day, putting in place some routines every day, starting to look towards the future, what are the things that I've wanted to do and I haven't been able to, starting to do those things, you know, starting to get your resume together even, you know, starting to capture all the things that you have done, reflecting on where you've come to in your career. A lot of people see it as an end point in their career rather than a potential transition. And for some people at this point in time, it can be overwhelming given the broader situation as well. But those things are important to do. Remembering that jobs will come back again. We will have to come back and continue to run our economy. There is a period of time, though, where we need to look after ourselves and shut ourselves down so that we can stop this. And, the world won't be like this forever. And reminding ourselves of that is really important.
It's hard to maintain a positive mindset. I mean, if you look at the news and you talk to people, it is all doom and gloom. There's not a lot of optimism out there, but I guess we need to try and take an optimistic approach whilst also being quite pessimistic or realistic.
Well, it's a matter of balancing that, right? So at the moment, when we're so overwhelmed by constant streams of negative information, the positivity that exists currently is just drowned out, and it takes energy to shift my attention to what is positive. Mm. So being grateful, for example, for if I'm in a situation with my kids at home, for example, being grateful that I've actually got time with my kids. Being grateful if they're healthy and well at this point in time, that they are healthy and well. Being grateful for, you know, my own health and well-being is something that we tend to take for granted a lot. Even just pausing from time to time and being grateful internally for my own health and well-being makes a big difference.
There's a lot of information out there. I guess getting the right information from the right source is of utmost importance.
That's right.
You don't want to believe half the stuff you see on Twitter.
Well, that's the problem as well. And you know, as we're going, we are learning about this virus. So even the best available evidence is shifting at the moment. But tapping into the World Health Organization, our government is doing a great job of synthesizing that information. The chief medical officer is a very competent, very well-informed person who is guiding that. You know, we need to be listening to people who have access to the right information. We don't need to be behaving to an anxious Twitter feed.
How do you deal with the unpredictability of other people? I mean, no one predicted a few weeks ago that there was going to be a run on the toilet paper aisle at Coles and Woolies, but there was.
That's right.
And so a lot of, you know, we did some research last week of our Triple M listeners and asked them how they felt about the virus. And the number one concern was the economy, obviously. I mean, that affects us all. But, you know, catching it myself or giving it to someone else was way down the list. But high on that list was other people. And how other people react, because you can't control what the other people do.
That's exactly right. So first and foremost, taking responsibility for ourselves. And if that means being uncomfortable and being unhappy and being, mildly anxious about isolating myself for the good of others, that's something that we've not had to do in our generation. And the last time we've had to do and behave in a way for the better good of everyone versus myself was probably during the Second World War, where, the greater good became the focus for my energy and my behaviour. This is equivalent to that. It's a big thing, and we need to be thinking on behalf of others as well as ourselves as well. And a lot of the time, you know, our own behaviour and being responsible about that, following the directions, that's the way to go.
So we're going to cover in this catch-up today, we're going to cover lots of questions that came in on the air. Social distancing shouldn't mean social isolation. We'll talk around that. I can't even say social isolation.
You should say what I was saying before. Okay. We should use the term social protection.
Social protection.
Hmm.
Something needs to change because there is such a negative connotation to all the terminology that we're having to use at the moment.
No, I don't care for your term. I like
look. You can't even say the other one.
I really believe if you shift to the physical versus the social, two fundamentally different things. Just because I'm not in the same room with you, just because I can't touch you and be next to you, doesn't mean to say that I'm not in a relationship and I'm not looking out for you, right? Yeah.
Lots of funny memes going around on the sorry, Trav. Are you going to finish that thought?
No.
Lots of funny memes going around on the weekend because you have to keep your energy up. You have to keep your spirits up, right? You need to be able to laugh at this. Gallows humour sort of lives at a time like this. But there was a great one going around on the weekend, which I think came from a UK comedy sketch, which is a guy being told he has to quarantine.
Because of coronavirus, you are going to be quarantined, but you have a choice. Do you A, quarantine with your wife and child, or B?
It's true, right? How many people are going, I'll take B. I don't care what option B is.
I'm not laughing at all.
All right, well, we're going to talk around exactly what happens if you are working from home and you are in close proximity with your partner 24/7 and how you might deal with that. Trav's got some great information. That's all coming up over the next 25 minutes here. This is our Triple M Mental Health and Wellbeing Special.
This is a Triple M special with psychologist and behavioural scientist Dr. Travis Kemp. If you feel you need further help, Lifeline's there on 13 11 14 or beyondblue.org.au.
Okay, Dr. Trav, social distancing. Can we talk around that? Because it's a pretty scary word, especially if you already suffer from mental health or you feel isolated yourself.
Yeah, I think the big challenge at the moment is people are thinking social distancing is related to physical distancing, which it is, but because we're physically distant from each other doesn't mean to say we have to be socially isolated. And encouraging people to stay connected is a really important thing to remember at this point in time. Reaching out, touching base, texting, Zooming, however way you keep in contact via technology, it's really important just to keep in contact with people now.
I've seen a whole lot of stuff online and, you know, I guess you've got to be careful where you go online and what sort of information you use. But people in the UK and in Europe talking about how they're working from home and they're saying they're doing things like they're having social gatherings at a certain time each day on Skype or Zoom or they've started a virtual happy hour with their workplace where they sit around at 5 PM and have a glass of wine together.
Look, and that's great stuff. And people are really creative. My wife is a clinical psychologist. She was on a global karaoke catch-up yesterday morning, where people were singing in a Zoom meeting. So, you know, any way that you can get creative about maintaining connection, it uplifts our mood. It really helps us to feel connected and feel like we're all in this together, which we are.
Fantastic. Now, don't forget, at any time if you feel like you need some support, Beyond Blue is there, 1-300-224-636 or beyondblue.org.au, and you can live chat on there as well. Dr. Trav is with us this afternoon. 1-333-53 is our open line number if you have a question for Dr. Trav around your own mental health or some concerns, how to maintain a positive mindset during this transition from working at work to working at home. We've got an email here from Aaron, Dr. Trav. He asks, how do we find the balance of constantly checking the breaking news to stay informed while also not letting it overwhelm us?
Yeah, that's a really good one because a lot of people are hooked into their live stream 24/7 almost at the moment, getting this information bombarded. We really need to manage that. Daily check-ins, absolutely important. No more than 2 or 3 times a day just checking in. Maybe, you know, leave it till mid-morning before you check in the first time. Check in again in the afternoon. You'll stay across things. You'll stay across the directives and the new information coming out, but you won't be consumed and swamped by it.
Have you found yourself doing that? Do you find yourself just on your mobile all the time looking at Instagram Facebook?
Very tempting, mate. And there's a lot of discipline associated with that. Quite often I need to be doing things that are not conducive to checking my phone. So if I'm out walking, if I'm focusing on a particular activity that I'm doing, if I'm hanging out with the kids, that all gets in the way of being on the phone. And they're good for me and they're good for the family as well. So connect, put the phone down. That's the way to go.
Beautiful. Okay, Greg's on the line. 1-333-53 is our open line number. Greg, you got a question for Dr. Trav.
Hello, Dr. Trav. How are you going?
Good, mate. How are you?
Good, thank you. Just a quick one. Like, we're talking about social distancing for work environments and all that stuff. How does that affect going for a haircut? Like, my partner, she works in the beauty industry. She does, like, waxing, facials and procedures like that. How does that affect them when they're trying to do their day-to-day working, obviously doing someone that needs to be waxed or getting a haircut and all that? How would that affect them? Like, would that come under the social distancing of being like 1.5 metres apart from each other? Would make it very hard for them to continue on doing their job on a daily basis.
You're spot on, mate. It is very difficult. And, you know, I would encourage people to take personal responsibility for this. If you feel like you're not comfortable with going and having your hair cut at this point in time, well guess what? Your hair can grow a bit. If you're me, it won't grow at all. But, you know, others, they need it cut every now and again. But it's, you know, we do have to be behaving differently at this point in time. We need to be doing what's important at this point in time. And maintaining that 1.5 metres between people is vitally important.
Sharina is on the line and is from the Sunshine Coast, has a question for you. Hi, Sharina.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. So my question to you is, I'm 60, so I'm not stressing about the virus. I'm in good health. I do have Hashimoto's, which you'd know is an autoimmune disease. But my question is, my grandchildren live about a 35-minute drive from me. They look forward to my weekly visits. I'm just wondering, is it still safe and appropriate to drive down and visit them once a week? They're 5 and 2, and then I live in an over 50s village. However, it's predominantly elderly people that live there. So just wanting your advice on that.
Yeah, look, that's a really difficult question. You're obviously going to miss your grandkids, right? This is a tough time in terms of relationships in family and connecting and maintaining connectedness. The simple truth is that there is no single answer here. You are at risk being in the community that you are in. And, you know, the older that we get, the more at risk we seem to be. And bear in mind that we have very little information at the moment. So, again, we need to get to that empirical, that quality information from the World Health Organization and the Chief Medical Officer as our go-to. But managing the space around you at this point, 1.5 metres, very important. If you can stay connected virtually with the grandkids, I think that's probably a safer option at this point. Set yourself up so you can do Zoom calls and you can interact with them face-to-face over a screen. It's just important that we take as many precautions as we can at this point in time.
Yeah, FaceTime, audio, Skype. What is Zoom exactly? I'm a bit of Luddite when it comes to this stuff.
Oh, look, it's the same as Skype. It's right, any okay. Sort of video sort of interaction here.
Beautiful. I'm sure I'll get onto it at some stage once my kids put me onto it. Can I call on Instagram? I'm not quite sure if I could.
You can look it up on Google.
Yeah, okay. Trav, explaining this to kids is tough. I mean, you know, my kids are sitting at home going, great, we don't have to go to school. But the idea that you're going to be homeschooled and perhaps you should even get into your uniform each day to do your schoolwork. They need to not see it as a holiday post the Easter break, but that they're still going to have to sit there and do schoolwork. How do you explain this stuff to kids without them getting anxious?
Yeah, so what we share with our kids is really important. They need to be informed enough so that they understand what's going on, proportionate to their age as well. Remember, young kids can't process complexity in the same way as older kids. So it's a very much case-by-case basis, telling them what they need to know. Remember, they're going to feel trusted if you're open and honest with them. If you're telling them stories that they feel like they're being misled or they're not getting the full story, that's going to erode your trust. Not overwhelming them with the magnitude of information coming through and the fear associated with that is really important as well. We're there to support them, to care for them, and to calm them. And education will come second to that, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I know that, you know, for kids over the age of probably 8 or 9, BTN on the ABC, which you can get on iView, I believe, is, you know, behind the news. We used to watch it when we were kids at school. Yeah. It is a great source of news that explains it to kids in a way that also doesn't make them anxious.
Absolutely. Fantastic show.
Pam is on the line. We're going to get a question from Pam here now, Sarah, please. Pam, you're talking to Dr. Trav.
Hi. I just wanted to know, why isn't it compulsory for everybody to be wearing a mask while they're out in public? Because there's been a lot of reports that people haven't had any symptoms and then they get tested, that's too late because they've been out in society. And I'm sitting here at the moment talking to you with chest pains from anxiety of just the thought of the fact that I have been out there doing shopping and doing normal things before the real warnings started to be broadcasted, and I too could be infected but not showing symptoms.
Okay, maybe we should deal with Pam's thoughts of anxiety first, Trav, rather than the size of the microns in the face mask.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, you know, this is happening for a lot of people. A lot of people are feeling the same way. There is confusion about how things are transmitted and how they're not transmitted. And as I said before, we're still learning that, but we've got some good guidance on that. But around the anxiety, staying connected, with people who are close to us in, you know, either directly or indirectly, depending on your situation, seeking help and support, asking for support, telling your closest group of friends and family how you're feeling, letting them know how you're traveling. It's absolutely normal to be very worried about this situation at this point in time. The critical element, though, is to reach out and let people know how you're feeling and ask for support.
Well, I was reading some stuff about anxiety online last night, and there's something about things you can control and things you can't. Can you expand on that for me and how you deal with that if you're an anxious person?
Yeah, so situations like this are, you know, for a lot of people, uncontrollable. We don't know when there's an end point. We don't know how it's going to play out, and that feeds into people's anxiety. So coming back into reflecting on what isn't my in my control, what's not in my control, right at this point in time, I can control how I isolate myself, how I look after myself, how I wash my hands. You know, that's a critical thing that people need to keep remembering, the little rituals around that sort of stuff. And I can absolutely control the quality of interactions that I have with people around me and how I seek support and give support as well. Because that's the other thing, reaching out and supporting other people helps me feel better about things as well.
Trav, also with kids as well, when they're not at school and they're at home and they're doing home learning, it's going to be really easy for them to go straight to the Xbox or straight to the PlayStation or straight to the telly and watch Netflix.
Yeah.
It's okay, I'd imagine, to have some of that in their day. It's not going to be a normal school day. So yeah, especially with kids with, you know, there might only be one laptop or iPad in the family if they have that, and you've got three kids, they can't all learn online at the same time.
That's right. So you know, this is new territory. We're going to be learning as we're going. But what we do know is that when kids are at home and we're trying to continue their education, we do need a little bit of structure. It doesn't need to be rigid as school is, but we do need to sort of set aside different parts of the day to be doing different things. People do have to sort of log on, and most schools are providing an interface with learning directly through that. But we also need to remember that kids need to get out, they need to exercise, they need to have downtime, they need to relax as well. So, you know, structuring their day for them is something that we don't normally have to do as parents, but we might have to step up a little bit as parents in this situation.
I love the idea of keeping normal school hours as well, keeping them dressed in their uniform, keeping, you know, fruit break and recess and lunchtime and play. I mean, when you think about it, it makes sense that there's some form of routine there for them.
Absolutely. You may get pushback on the uniform, but yeah, stuff. Yeah.
Well, I'm just thinking about how I'd have to wash a uniform for 5 days every week. Dr. Trav is a psychologist, so I can answer questions for you around your health, your mental health and your well-being, anxiety, stuff like that, how to deal with, you know, moving from a workplace to working from home. Not medical questions, but Trav, can we talk about meditation for a second? Is that helpful? And how do I start if I don't know how?
Yes, absolutely. Mindfulness-based practice, we call it. It's very effective at reducing anxiety. When I practice it on a regular basis, there are many, many apps that can help you be exposed to that. If you Google mindfulness meditation or mindfulness apps, there will be a bucket load come up and you can try them out. Most of them you can try out for free. Give them a go. They will make a difference if you engage with them.
Fantastic. I transcendental meditation for me, slightly different. You have a mantra and it's very, very helpful.
Yeah.
If you get a chance, I mean, you won't be learning it in a group with anyone at the moment, but if you get a chance to learn somehow, maybe online, then go for it. Bill from Melbourne is on the line for you, Dr. Trav. Bill, good afternoon. What's your question for the doctor?
Hey, mate. Okay, Bill. I was just wondering, being overwhelmed at the moment as someone who suffers from anxiety, has been pretty good for a long time, just all of a sudden started to get, you know, the feelings of anxiety symptoms come up out of nowhere. And I was just wondering why, you know, some advice on how to sort of curb that.
Yeah. So noticing that, and look, if we suffer from anxiety, you know, this is going to bring it up. There's no question about that. Noticing it is the first thing. So that's fantastic you've done that. And then go back to, you know, things that have worked in the past for anxiety are more than likely going to work for you currently again. And if you've been treated for anxiety in the past, it's certainly worthwhile reaching out to your psychologist again if you've been through a process with them, reconnecting with other healthcare professionals. If you're concerned about it being out of control, organising a mental health plan through your general practitioner, that's important as well. But go back to the things that really have worked with you for you in the past. Mindfulness-based practice and all sorts of different techniques that you might have covered off in the past will work in this situation again.
This is a Triple M special with psychologist and behavioural scientist Dr. Travis Kemp. If you feel you need further help, Lifeline's there on 13 11 14 or beyondblue.org.au.
Social distancing shouldn't mean social isolation. Although a lot of people, Trav, are going to be at home now with partners,
yes,
who they perhaps don't spend that much time together with. When you're going to work at 8 in the morning, coming home at 6 at night, you get 2 days in the weekend, and now all of a sudden you're with each other 24/7.
That's right.
That's going to cause a bit of friction, I'd imagine.
Well, it could cause friction. It could be an opportunity to strengthen the relationship as well, though.
Okay.
I mean, it's a process of getting to know each other again. And what's required in those sort of situations is a lot of understanding, a lot of patience, a lot of support for each other. And, you know, it's tempting to get irritated with anybody that you spend a lot of time with. Mm. Noticing that, preempting that, thinking about that before it happens and having a plan for when you do get irritated, how you're going to respond, that's a really important thing to think about, because this is a very unusual situation. It's not going to last forever, but the relationship, most people are hoping, will. So we need to build the relationship in these times rather than let it just, you know, erode.
So what do you mean have a plan? Well, I'm confused by that. So have a plan for how you're going to react when your partner gives you the shits. Is that what you're saying?
There are things that always annoy us in partnerships, right? Whether it's, you know, squeezing the toothpaste tube in the wrong spot,
sure,
putting the toilet paper around the wrong way. It doesn't make any difference. These things annoy us. And not acknowledging and remembering and reminding ourselves that those are things that annoy us, and then planning for the way I'm going to respond to them in this situation, rather than just flying off the handle, getting grumpy and having a crack, noticing that that's not going to help, and having a plan for behaving in a slightly different way. You know, I love the way that you always squeeze the tube in the middle. Do you reckon could
take a counterintuitive approach to how you're going to react?
Counterintuition is a great way to frame it.
Think about how you would normally react and think, I'm going to do the absolute opposite here.
Absolutely. And look, sometimes you can just let go of things as well. You know, if I have to have the tube squeezed here, maybe I can just have it squeezed in the middle for a while, right?
Sarah's laughing at me. What are you laughing at?
It comes down to a toothpaste.
Well, I mean, that's what might be the impetus for whatever the friction is in the household. You don't know.
I'm worried for your wife if the toothpaste tube is what you want.
The toothpaste is the least of it. I'll give you
an example.
Andy is on the line. Andy, you got a question for Dr. Trav?
Yeah, Doctor, how you going there?
Good, Andy. How are you, Matt?
Yeah, not bad. Just talking about in this environment, obviously being home and maybe with the kids, family, and, you know, just maybe trying to get away, obviously within the state, not going interstate, but going to a place, whether it be a motel, whether it be a retreat, holiday home somewhere, still doing everything inside the rules. But would that be okay, in your opinion, with the family being outside your home?
Andy, I can answer this for you before we go to the mental health aspect of this. The Prime Minister has said this is going to be a weird school holidays. You're not getting in the car and driving 4 hours away. You're not going to camping grounds. You're not going to motels out of town. Don't do that, mate. It's not a chance to take your kids away on a holiday. Does that make sense, Andy? Like, the idea here, mate, is that you isolate your family and yourself so you're not traveling to these places. I know that's going to be hard.
Yeah, like, even if it was like, you know, you went half an hour away from where you normally are and you went down and, you know, you're not traveling 4 hours, you're not going interstate. You're just basically going to isolate yourselves in a little spot somewhere. Is that a big deal as far as what he's saying? You wouldn't even need to fill up, you know what I mean? Half an hour?
You know, it kind of is a big deal, mate. The Prime Minister and the government health advice is don't travel. Don't travel, so stay at home. But Trav, that comes, I guess, the subtext of Andy's question there is that comes with its own set of extraordinary challenges as well, which is what do you do with a family when you can't get a pressure release valve like a holiday?
That's exactly right. And, you know, being cramped up with a whole bunch of other people, even if it's not your family, is stressful at times. So, you know, creating space for each other within your home, that's important. Respecting each other's space, having time where you can actually be in a room by yourself, and to you know, act as that pressure release, really important. Yes, if you're not in isolation, you can get out and go for a walk. You might need to just go for a walk around the block from time to time, but we need to be creative about how we respect each other's space and create space for each other so that we're not living in each other's laps all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can get out to a park, but be smart. Don't do like everyone did in Bondi on Saturday and think, oh, we'll all go to the beach.
Well, that's exactly right. And we've got very clear directions about how far we need to stay away from each other, right? Let's just keep those.
John is on the line. John's calling us from New South Wales. Morning. Sorry, afternoon. John, what's your question for Dr. Trent?
Good afternoon. Yeah, well, basically, I'm a commercial traveller, a sales rep. Last week, or maybe the week before, I personally wasn't comfortable with continuing in my role as it is, which is, you know, visiting dealers, etc., out on the road, and also country trips where you're staying in motels, etc., and all that sort of thing. So at this point in time, we have been taken off the road, and I think that's a better position to be in. But obviously, the long term, and we're talking 6 months here at least, as the Prime Minister says, that's going to affect the business and start costing jobs.
Yeah.
I guess what I wanted to clarify, I mean, personally, I'm not overly anxious about it, but I would be anxious if the company decided in order to keep the company going, we needed to start getting back out and visiting rural areas particularly and dealers and that sort of thing, that I would not only be likely to contract it, but also to spread it. And I was just wondering what your feelings are around that type of situation.
Yeah, so the guidelines are very clear that have been issued by the government. We need to stick those first and foremost. For a lot of people, their jobs are causing some anxiety. You know, people are concerned about losing their jobs. The government is also putting in place a number of measures that is designed to support those people. They are going to emerge as time goes on. When we look at our anxiety around this situation, though, personally, you know, again, remembering that this is a short-term, relatively short-term event, maintaining my own well-being, you know, turning inward and reflecting on my current situation. What is it that I'm going to have to cut back on? What is it I'm going to have to be aware of now? Managing what's available to me in terms of my resources, very important at this point in time as well. But the most important thing is to look after yourself and maintain that isolation as much as we can physically, but continue to maintain that connection with people virtually.
Mm. That's so important, isn't it? You know, I was talking to a friend of mine who started Movember movement. He's currently in the UK on lockdown, Trav, and he's been giving this an incredible amount of thought at the moment. As the term social isolation or social distancing is so negative and such a challenge, you know, especially in a world where it might trigger people, especially with the worst thoughts that can possibly have. And you know, it's really important that our social scaffolding doesn't collapse. You've got to keep social connections, schedule a time for a regular chat with friends or a virtual coffee, as we said, happy hour on Skype with your workmates.
That's right.
Have a yak over the back fence like the bloke used to do on Home Improvement. You know, across the balconies if you're in an apartment.
If there's one thing that we have to get across is that physical isolation does not mean social isolation. So we need to be connected with people, maintain that connection. We're living in a time when that social connection can be maintained easier than any point in history. It's just that we won't be physically together all the time.
Barry's on the line. Hello, Barry.
G'day, mate. How you doing?
Good, mate. Got a question for Dr. Trav?
Okay, Trav, we've got a bit of a moral dilemma here in my house. Both my partner and myself work for ourselves, but she's a driving instructor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the moral obligation, she's a bit anxious because she cannot physically have that meter and a half inside a car.
Yeah.
Now, she's got students, and surprisingly enough, she's had no cancellations as yet, and she's very busy. And understandably, she's a bit anxious, you know, because a lot of different students are, you know, different backgrounds and what have you, and, you know, no racial being intended there, but I'm also very anxious about her health and well-being, and, you know, but she has this moral obligation. She's, you know, a driving instructor, and people still want to get their licenses, and they still want to do that. And as I say, surprisingly, with nil cancellation.
Yeah, this is a really tough situation, isn't it, for a lot of people?
It is, and, you know, the guidelines sort of haven't been set on this thing, and she's, you know, worried, what do I do? And financially, we really can't afford to stop because, again, she's working for herself. She likes to go into the start or into this other thing with Centrelink, but at the end of the day, we've always been, you know, able to cope on our own. But without her doing what she's doing, you think, well, where do we go? What do we do? And she's really, really concerned.
Mm. Yeah.
Geez, that's a tough one, Trav.
It is, and it's really stressful because, you know, people's livelihood is depending on them going to work at the moment. First and foremost, though, it's important to remember that I've got to look after myself and my own well-being, and when I'm doing that, then I'm looking after other people's well-being as well. And although it's a very tough decision to make, sometimes I have to isolate myself and I have to find ways of coping that, you know, are going to keep myself safe and then keep others safe. And this is one of those things. Sure, we can take extra measures, and certainly, you know, in the health professions, you know, people like me, we're making sure that our cleaning rituals are much more robust and we're maintaining that 1.5 meters. But at the end of the day, if I can't perform my role because of this situation, then that is a constraint that we're going to have to operate under, and there will be guidance from the government around that.
Thanks for your call, Barry. Trav, Ben is on the line from South Australia. Hello, Ben. You're talking to Dr. Trav.
Hi, doctor. I've been on antidepressants now for over 10 years, mm-hmm. quite a high dose. I've recently lost my job and I've now got an opportunity to go to the doctors and to adjust my medication.
Yep.
It's been really unmanaged for the last more than 5 years.
Okay.
Now, I've seen other people change their medication, and they do go through a few ups and downs due to a change. And so I guess my question is, do you think now is a good time to have a mental health plan or an assessment done and potentially change my medication? Or is it best to maybe just keep the status quo, keep what I'm on? I know how to manage, you know, things as they are. Or should I defer and wait till this is blown over to have a review?
Yeah, look, I think now is the perfect time to reach out to your GP again, have a reconnection with that person and discuss the situation with them, and then they can guide you on those parameters. That's the most important conversation. Get in and see your GP.
Great. Thank you very much, Trav. I hope it helps you out, Ben. Andrew's on the line from Queensland. Andrew, question for Dr. Trav?
Before I ask the big question... Ooh. Little question, are children 100% immune?
Well, Trav's not a medical doctor, mate, so I don't think he's going to be able to answer that one for you, and I'm not even going to try. I'm not a doctor, and I wouldn't won't even have a look at it for you, but ask us the big question.
And we can't answer
My concern is we have this social gathering that we're not supposed to do.
Yep.
My wife's a school teacher.
Uh-huh.
Now, we cannot keep children 1.5 meters away from each other.
Yep.
I also have an elderly person that lives in my house. Now, we're getting a little stressed. What happens if my wife catches it from a child or one of my children catches it, brings it home, gives it to us, gives it to the elderly that's with us? I don't see the difference between the social gatherings not being allowed and school classrooms being allowed.
Yeah.
To me, it's a contradiction. I'm getting stressed. My wife's getting stressed about it. She feels that there's an undue care of attention, that the government's just forgetting about the teachers, which sounds like they are. All they're worried about, to me, is as long as the economy doesn't fall over because all these workers have to stay home and look after their children.
So it sounds to me, Andrew, like your question here is how best can you and your partner manage this stress? Because, you know, it sounds like a really challenging and almost impossible situation, Trav.
It is. It's impossible. And look, things are changing by the minute. So, you know, different states are closing down their school systems at the moment, recognising it's very difficult to keep that 1.5 metres. In the meantime, though, we do know that, and the guidance is very clear, hand washing is very important, maintaining that distance 1.5 metres between each other. That's going to minimise our risk. And at the end of the day, some parents are choosing to keep their kids at home, even though schools haven't closed. Mm. This is a very difficult situation for us all, and we actually need to start by making decisions ourselves that we believe are the safest decisions for us. And if you feel like you're at risk, then isolate yourself is the key message.
Jeez, have you ever washed your hands so many times in your life? Like, I'm wondering what I did for 46 years without. I washed them, but not like I'm washing them now. I'm taking skin off.
Washing them properly now.
I know it's unbelievable. I just enjoy it now. Tell me, Sarah Marie Cameron, who's here pushing the buttons for us, you had a question for Dr. Trav. You get your question because you don't have to ring in.
Yeah, thank you. I think that some people might need to be made aware, myself included, of some of the signs to look out for in regards to anxiety creeping up. I would have thought that I was fine. I meditate, I exercise, I go for walks. And in the last week, I've actually lost 2 kilos.
Jeez, how do I get some of that?
apparently, by stressing.
And look, anxiety shows up for different people in different ways. You know, people, a lot of people think that it's just sort of cowering in the corner and running away from what is scary. For other people, they get very aggressive and angry and irritated, and they become more argumentative. But, you know, things like panic attacks start to surface. If you've never had a panic attack, that's going to be freaky for you. You know, your heart rate going up. You know, tightness in your chest, all those quick, you know, rapid breathing, all of those things sort of start to pop up. But, you know, excessive fear, worrying, catastrophizing, that happens a lot. You know, if you're locked into a constant feed of bad news and you know, negative news, you know, that is going to be elevated. Obsessive thinking starts to come in. So these are all the things that might surface in subtle kind of ways that give an indicator that we might not be traveling too well.
So taking a minute out just to sort of sit and do a self-check, Trav, like sit, have a couple of breaths and think, how do I feel right now? Am I okay? Is my heart racing? Is my chest tight? Like, just absolutely. Sort of try and be a bit more self-aware of how you feel physically.
Absolutely. So just pausing every now and again and just tapping into what's going on for me. How am I feeling? Where am I noticing any tension in my body? But the other thing that we can start to become aware of too is that it's very tempting to not attend to what information that we're dragging in and we're exposing ourselves to. If you're on your phone too much, get off it. It's not going to be helpful.
No.
There are a hell of a lot of things that are worthwhile looking at that we can be grateful for, even in this horrible situation, and even being grateful for those small things makes a big difference to our mental health.
Read a book. Geez, those phones are bad, aren't they? How just send you down. They send you down the hole. They really do.
Keep them clean as well. Get alcohol wipes and clean those.
Oh, yeah, I know. Because people use them in the toilet. There's more germs on your phone than there is on the toilet seat. It's disgusting. By the way, you buried the lead on that. How did your anxiety manifest itself for the 2 kilo loss of weight, please?
Lots of number twos.
There you go.
There and that
go.
Happens.
Well, so you hid that. You told me I had to endure that visual, but now the rest of Australia has to endure the visual.
I thought you wanted me to bury that lead.
No.
Now everyone knows.
Trav, a couple of other things we didn't get time to get to today, but we're going to record these and we'll do this on a catch up, so you'll be able to get this at triplem.com.au on the Triple M app or the Mix 94.5 app. You can download it and catch up on demand. Trav and I will record a couple of extra bits here of information so that you can listen to those and share it with your friends as well. Please look after yourself. That lifeline number 13 11 14, beyondblue.org.au. If you go to beyondblue.org.au, by the way, there's a whole stack of other addresses, emails, phone numbers, and people that can help you if you feel like you're in a crisis, if you're anxious or your you know, chest gets tight or whatever. And Trav, of course, three little numbers that you should be calling if you really, really get stuck.
Yes, if you're in a crisis, 000 is always the way to go.
Beautiful. Dr. Travis Kemp, thank you very much for your time today, mate. Appreciate
it. My pleasure.
If you feel you need further help, Lifeline's there on 13 11 14 or beyondblue.org.au.